Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Tuesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And, Jim, we've talked at length yesterday about most of the reasons why we like Paul Ryan. We talked about one of the things that could potentially be a hindrance to adding Ryan to the ticket, and we'll get to those in a little more detail today. One of them, of course, is his absolute mastery of the economy. That's one of his strongest points, and most Republicans and even most Democrats will admit to his intelligence and knowledge of the issue and his mastery of the issue. What you don't hear a lot, though, is Democrats loving his budget, but that's exactly what Clinton White House budget director Erskine Bowles, who is also, of course, head of the Bowles-Simpson Debt Reduction Commission, had to say about the Ryan budget just last year.
Have any of you all met Paul Ryan? We should get him to come to the university. I'm telling you, this guy is amazing. I always thought I was okay with arithmetic. This guy can run circles around me. And he is honest. He is straightforward. He is sincere. And the budget he came forward with is just like Paul Ryan. It is a sensible, straightforward, honest, serious budget, and it cut the budget deficit just like we did by $4 trillion. The president came out with his own plan, and the president, as you remember, came out with a budget, and I don't think anybody took that budget very seriously. The Senate voted against it 97-0.
And then Bowles goes on to say, Jim, that the White House then redid their budget, coming up with $4 trillion over 12 years, but when you look closer at it, it's 2.5, and it's all backloaded, and so it's basically smoke and mirrors. So it's pretty hard for a guy who's so well esteemed in the Democratic Party to lavish that much praise on Paul Ryan, and then have the rest of the Democrats, particularly the campaign, have a ton of credibility by essentially claiming he's out there to kill grandma.
Yeah, and Greg, what we're going to see in the coming days is efforts by lefty talking heads to insist that Erskine Bowles doesn't really have credibility amongst the Democratic Party. This needs to be slam dunked to point out this was Obama's guy. This was his appointee, his handpicked selection to lead the Democratic half on this debt commission. And unsurprisingly, when Erskine Bowles is not enough of an ideologue to ignore math, and he runs the numbers and he comes up with Ryan's budget. Now, does this mean that Erskine Bowles agrees with every little aspect of the Ryan plan? No, but look at those adjectives again. Honest, straightforward, sincere, serious. All right. And none of those things apply to the way Obama has approached any of these issues. This comment by Bowles needs to get in front of as many folks as possible in the next coming days, because the message is going to come from pathological liar Stephanie Cutter and the rest of the Democrats. Oh, Ryan's crazy. Oh, it's so extreme. Well, if it's so extreme, why is Obama's guy saying this is a serious, sensible, straightforward, honest and serious budget? This is my mantra for the next coming days, Greg. Sensible, straightforward, honest and serious. Sensible, straightforward, honest and serious. Sensible, straightforward, honest and serious. And just keep saying that over and over again and make Democrats claim that Obama appointed a crazy right-wing ideologue to his debt commission. Because if that's the case, we need to get rid of President Obama because he keeps appointing crazy right-wing ideologues to debt commissions.
Exactly right. And of course, the crazy thing Paul Ryan did, he slowed down the increase in spending on Medicare. Just radical, Jim. Just absolutely radical. But apparently that's enough to get a lot of these beltway establishment inside the loop Republicans all bent out of shape, because Politico's got this big story today about how GOP pros fret over Paul Ryan as their actual headline. A lot of unnamed people in here. A few actually had the guts to throw their name on there, like former Bush advisor Mark McKinnon, Charlie Black, who actually thinks that Ryan's going to be able and Romney will be able to explain their differences on Medicare and it'll end up being worked out to their advantage, and a couple others speaking here. But all these people hand-wringing, oh, this is going to hurt House races down the ballot. Apparently, the idea of having an adult conversation and a real debate about philosophy and ideas just sends people scurrying for cover. You and I talked about yesterday how ultimately the strategy and the gamble may not work, but it's a fight worth having. And the fact that these Republicans are just screaming in terror doesn't say much about the establishment right now.
Yeah, a couple of fascinating points here. First of all, Mark McKinnon, it's worth identifying this is a former Democratic strategist who early in George W. Bush's years as governor of Texas, McKinnon just became totally inspired by Bush, believed that Bush was the leader the country needed, became a true believer and jumped on board, was part of his 2000 campaign. And I don't say that to say, oh, we shouldn't take Mark McKinnon seriously. I think he's saying everything, giving his honest opinion and all these things. I would just note that if you ask any Democrat, so of all the Republicans in the world that a Democrat could suddenly find a great personal attachment to, a great personal admiration, and to really believe in him, George W. Bush, really? Who do you expect? Maybe John Huntsman? McKinnon is not necessarily your run-of-the-mill Republican strategist. Yes, he's a former Bush guy, but I don't think you can necessarily take him as representative of all this. Beyond that, we don't know who the rest of these unnamed sources are. If you're a Republican and you're unnerved by the selection of Ryan, why do you think it helps anything to express your concerns to Politico on background or without attribution? Do you really think that really gets anything anywhere? The pick is made. It's not like you can talk Mitt Romney out of it. You know, the die is cast, and now we move on forward. And I think, you know, David Ferdoso made a really good point that somehow the idea was that House Republicans who had voted for the Ryan plan were not going to have a political consequence, but if he's on the ticket, they're going to have a political consequence? Really? You know, I mean, we can measure the difference in microns, maybe. This is, you know, not a terribly big difference from what the kind of Democratic attacks we were going to see in the fall beforehand. So not terribly plausible, very inside Washington, very inside baseball. This is, you know, a lot of, you know, oh, if, you know, if only they'd listen to me. Usually you're supposed to save those things until after the election. I guess it says something about the current state of, you know, Washington Republican consulting that so many strategists are just rushing to Politico to say how absolutely certain they are that this is the wrong move, but don't quote them on that.
Right, absolutely. So we'll see how many of these folks still have work. The fact that they were anonymously sourced probably means they will, and they'll deny having ever said any of this, of course, if Romney and Ryan win. So that's generally how it works in Washington. But on to Martini number three now. And Jim, becoming an Olympic champion takes a lot of dedication, particularly if you're a gymnast. It really has consumed most of your life. You spend time away from your family, rigorous training, overcoming injuries, all sorts of things. So when you finally win a gold medal, you should be able to celebrate in a fairly modest way and perhaps even a less than conservative way. So Jay Leno last night on his Tonight Show program had Michelle Obama. She was on first and talked about how Obamacare was the thing she was most proud of in the first 4 years and why her husband should be reelected. That should go a long way. And then he brought on Gabby Douglas, who was not only the all-around winner in women's gymnastics, but also part of the gold medal for the U.S. women's team. And he just asked her how she celebrated. And unfortunately, she got a little bit of a lecture in reply.
You train your whole life. You win. How did you celebrate? What did you do?
We didn't have time to celebrate. Mm-hmm. It was team finals and had to turn the page, all-around finals, then event finals after that. But after the competition, I splurged on Egg McMuffin at
Egg
McDonald's.
Egg McMuffin?
Gabby, we don't
Egg
encourage. I'm sure it was on a whole wheat McMuffin.
Yeah, it was on a whole wheat bun. Whole wheat bun.
Yes.
So, okay.
Yeah.
So an Egg McMuffin, very good.
You're setting me back, Gabby.
Sorry.
That's so hard.
Now, to give her a little bit of credit, Jay Leno's clearly trying to bait her, but Jim, for Pete's sake, she won a gold medal. I'd be sitting there on the couch with a greasy cheeseburger in one hand and a double cheeseburger in the other.
And it went straight to her arteries, didn't it, Greg? thankfully, I'm like 90% sure Michelle Obama was joking. Having said that, the idea that, you know, wagging one's finger over is kind of ludicrous. I'm talking about, you know, the idea that America's sweetheart deserves to be, you know, called onto the carpet for her dietary choices. The gymnast looks like she probably weighs about your or my arms, probably. And it's interesting, yes, and they're, ha, 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 oh, there goes that first lady. Here comes America's food nanny. Like, it's kind of good that she can laugh at this image, but it's also kind of interesting that, like, this is the first lady's image. That she is the person who's coming along and telling us what we can and can't eat. She doesn't have the force of law the way Mike Bloomberg does yet. But it's just kind of this, like, very strange. We've all just kind of gotten very, very casual and accepting of the notion that the job of the first lady is to tell us what we're supposed to eat. You know, like the national nag or something like that. And, of course, as you know, people observed, every time Michelle Obama goes out and every time the catering for a Democratic fundraiser is kind of high in cholesterol or fatty foods or something, or every time she goes out with the daughters, people kind of scoff at this. And you know, like she sets herself up for this. I'm kind of surprised about how it's very interesting that Michelle Obama felt that was a wise joke to make. And so she would make a huge deal out of this. No, but it's just kind of interesting that this is This is what the Obama administration is. That no one, not even, you know, gold medal winning Olympic gymnasts, are above the food police. That everyone deserves to be called out for their bad food choices. And I think it's, you know, it's funny, but there's a certain, you know, not so reassuring subtext to these jokes.
The Obamas always know better. Liberals mm-hmm. always know better. Government especially always
even
knows better.
Even better than you, Gabby.
That's right.
How great shape you've been without that Egg McMuffin.
Right. Jim, have a great day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sure, dude, Greg. See you tomorrow.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Wednesday for the next edition of the Three Martini Lunch.